Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today, we look at the beginning of the book of the prophet Haggai, chapter 1, the first 8 verses. On the first day of the 6th month, in the 2nd year of King Darius, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to the governor of Judah, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and to the high priest Joshua, son of Jehozadak. Thus says the Lord of hosts, this people says, the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. The time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. And then this word of the Lord came through Haggai the prophet. Is it time for you to dwell in your own paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? In other words, what's your priority? Are you taking care of yourself first, or are you taking care of the place that God is to have in your life and the life of your family first? Build that house, so to speak, first. That's a very, very important priority. Thus says the Lord, consider your ways. You have sown much, but have brought in little. You have eaten, but have not been satisfied. You have drunk, but have not been exhilarated. You have clothed yourselves, but not been warmed. And whoever earned wages, earned them for a bag with holes in it. In other words, nothing you've done. The Lord is saying, look at your ways. Look at what you're doing. You're taking care of yourself first. And has it produced any really good fruit? Really good. You've eaten, not satisfied. You've sown much, but you haven't produced much. You've drunk, but not been exhilarated. You've clothed yourselves, but not been warmed. Whoever earned wages earned them for a bag with holes in it. It all just goes because your priorities aren't right. Now, we can be short of money because we're doing all we can to keep the family together. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people who receive much money and it just seems to just go into all kinds of frivolous things. That's what I'm talking about. They never have something to give to the poor. Too busy, too much. Too many irons in the fire, don't have time to think about that right now. I've heard that from people. And sometimes I almost weep for them because the priorities are so lopsided and so skewed. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up into the hill country, bring timber, and build the house, that I may take pleasure in it and receive my glory, says the Lord. The Lord is saying, let's put first what ought to be first. Build my house first. Reverence and worship in a central place in your home, your family, is a way of building the house of God. Is God clearly evident? And I don't mean by millions of pictures and statues, though you can have them, but I mean by attitude. What's the spirit in your home? Is it a reflection of the peace of Christ or not? What are you contributing? Don't point fingers. What are you contributing to the lack of peace or hope or love? What are you doing that contributes to the lack? Make this an examination of conscience, brothers and sisters. Take a look at your own life. See your own life as your house, so to speak. Take a look at it. Is it moving in the right direction? Is your mind, your heart, your body united in purpose, in intent, and execution of it? Oh, I want to do this, but I'd rather do that. Or I just wish I could do what so-and-so does. All those kinds of things are just, they're frivolous. They're not worth it. What does God ask of me today? And he asks two things of you, to love him with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the things that God asks of you today. Are you living them out? With your family? Are you living them out in your workplace? This is very, very important. Part of the reason we're in the difficulties we're in our country today and in the church, the reason we're in these difficulties in great part is because we haven't made the right choices personally or family-wise or parish or workplace, to say nothing of national decisions. We don't have our priorities right, brothers and sisters, at all. Put God first, and you will be amazed at how everything else will fall into place. Really. And you'll be amazed at the peace you know. Even if times are difficult, there'll still be a peace. Psalm 149 tells us the Lord takes delight in his people. If the Lord came to your home today, to your family, would he find delight? Would he take delight in what he sees? Don't get down on yourself. Just honestly answer the question. Because God does actually visit your house every day. All day. Perhaps you just don't recognize him or acknowledge him. Let the faithful exult in glory. Let them sing for joy upon their couches. Let the praise of God be in their throats. This is the glory of all his faithful. Who's first? It's the key question. It's a question that seems to crop up in all stages of life, everybody with every situation. Who's first? Am I first? Why am I second? We just seem to have that mentality. We want to be first in everything. Well, if the important thing is that God is in first place in everything. God. In your thoughts, your words, your actions, your relationships, your workplace. Is God first? Is his glory, his honor first? Honestly, you make that your first priority, and honestly, other things will fall into place. They really will. Because once the foundation gets the right building blocks and the foundation is secure, it makes a whole lot of other decisions so much easier. And there's a lot more peace. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verses 7 to 9, Herod the Tetrarch heard about all that was happening, and he was greatly perplexed because some were saying, John has been raised from the dead. Others were saying, Elijah has appeared, and still others, one of the ancient prophets has arisen. But Herod said, John I beheaded. Who then is this about whom I hear such things? And he kept trying to see him. He kept trying to see him. In a culture paradoxically suffering from anonymity and at the same time obsessed with the details of other people's lives, shamelessly given over to morbid curiosity, the church must look more closely and sympathetically at others wherever necessary. In our world, ordained ministers and other pastoral workers can make present the fragrance of Christ's closeness and his personal gaze. The church will have to initiate everyone, priests, religious, and laity, into this art of accompaniment. This is Pope Francis, which teaches us to remove our sandals before the sacred ground of the other. The pace of this accompaniment must be steady and reassuring, reflecting our closeness and our compassionate gaze, which heals, liberates, and encourages growth in the Christian life. Herod kept trying to see. He kept trying to know who this person was that they were talking about. And people were saying it was a prophet. People were saying it was John. And Herod kept saying, John I beheaded. Who then is this about whom I hear such things? And he kept trying to see him. But you see, his priorities were so skewed that he couldn't see clearly, to seek clearly. And brothers and sisters, That's what Pope Francis is saying. I just read that section kind of out of the blue to you, but I want you to hear. He says that so many people live anonymous lives and we don't know them and we don't see them. And the church must begin to look for those people who are confused, those people who, quote, want to see Jesus, but they can't. And Pope Francis says, what we want to do is accompany them, walk beside them. That's part of the new evangelization, and that's true. But how can you do that? How can I do that unless we first know him? Unless, in a sense, we have seen him. That is, we've come to know him as our Lord and Savior. We acknowledge him. We walk in close relationship with him. We make our decisions with Christ, in Christ, for Christ. Decisions about life, or even daily decisions, we make them with Christ. We're walking with Christ. Only then can we help others to join us and to walk with Christ. That's what's needed in the church today. That's what's always been needed. The call to conform our lives to Christ follows on that. It doesn't come first. What we want to do is bring people close, bring them in. If even Herod was trying to see, if even Herod was looking and searching, even though he didn't know what he was looking for or searching for, there is in the heart of every person a realization, if we're honest, that we're not complete, that we're not whole. There's an emptiness in us. There's an empty space in us. It's for God. But people don't see that. They look around to all the things of this world to take away that ache, that longing, that loneliness, and only God will do it. Because we were made for union with God. That's the whole purpose of our creation. And to bring as many other people with us as we can, that's our part. That's our apostolate, so to speak. But first, what has to come into people's hearts is a desire to see him. And they'll desire to see him when they see you following him, when they see you loving him, when they see you making decisions, when they see the fruit of your decisions in greater peace, not perfect, but greater peace, greater trust, greater faith. When they see that, something will awaken in them. And then, as Pope Francis says, you accompany them. You bring them to see what you see. If even Herod could seek and search and didn't really know what he was seeking, he was so mired in sin, but if he could search, maybe out of curiosity, but God will use any motive at the beginning. Brothers and sisters, how much that desire is in us. Herod refused to follow. Herod refused to change. He was stuck in his ways. But the more Christians there are who really do follow Jesus with the joy and the peace that comes, so will many others follow you. May you be given the grace today to follow Jesus more closely. God bless you. As we prepare for this year of mercy, which will begin this December, I want to make available to you a free copy of my booklet, Captured by Mercy. I'm going to be speaking on this program a great deal about the true meaning of mercy, but I'd like you to have a free copy of my booklet now, Captured by Mercy. You can receive it simply by calling this number, 1-800-282-4789.